Okay, welcome everybody back to our learning at Shari. It's May the 10th, and we are learning Lilui Nishmas, as well as the Zecher Nishmas, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom, Mehur Neshama HaVenaliyah, in the merit of our continuous Torah. So before we even open the Sefer, which I hope we will, I want to follow up with something that we spoke about last week. Last week we spoke about Ahava versus Ira. Oh, I wanted to clarify something Elisheva asked me. Elisheva sent me an email with a good question. How does Ahava versus Ira relate to understanding that Hashem is our Shachin? We said Ahava means to be very close to Hashem, but we need Ira, Shamayim also, which means stay away from Hashem, so to speak. Have a healthy sense of distance between you and Ribbono Shel Olam. So how do you reconcile? Yira was saying that Hashem, Shachin, Shechina, is very close to us. So he answered, and I think the answer works, that at the same time that you're very close to your neighbor, there's still distance between your neighbor. It's still your neighbor. You're close to your neighbor, but there's a house between the two of you. There's private things between the two. It's not totally meshed together. And as we understand, Hashem is Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu perhaps represents the Havas Shemayim, and Yira is represented in Malkeinu. So it's true, we're very close to Hashem. He's our Shechin, he's our Shechina. But being close to your Shechin still indicates a distance between two parties. Yes, clear? Just to follow up from last week. So we're coming up to Lag BaOmer. So I thought just a couple of words on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai before we get to the Sefer itself. So Lag BaOmer is associated either with the day that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. This is a little bit difficult, by the way. Does anyone know why? Because what does the Gemara say? Yevamos, when did the Gemara says they died? V'kula mesu b'perek achad. Pesach v'atzeres, they all died during one period from Pesach to Atzeres. What's Atzeres? This week's parasha, parashas Emor. Atzeres is Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Pasha, they all died during one period from its Pesach to Atzeres. So 33 days doesn't say anything about they stopped dying after Lag BaOmer. So it's a very strong question. So there's a couple ways to understand it. But one way that I saw a number of years ago, which makes a lot of sense, is that they died over a period of 33 days. If you take out Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and if you take out Shabbos, if you take out all those days from 49, you get to 33. And therefore, they died over a period of 33 days over a 7-week period. And if you do the math, 24,000, 33 days, it's over 700, I think it's 727 funerals a day. So it's the magnitude of the scope of the disaster of the Magefa was a terrible thing. So Lag BaOmer is the day that we say they stopped dying. They died for 33 days, and then the plague stopped. It's also associated with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Yurtzeit, Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on the day of his death, revealed the hidden parts of Torah. He brought us the Zohar, Kabbalah, the hidden parts of Torah. So I just wanted to share one piece of Gemara about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then a beautiful insight from Rabbi Zev Lef, which is brought down by Henny Machas. Okay? It's okay? You want to do this? You want to go straight to the Sefer? It's okay? Okay. So the Gemara talks about that they had to go into hiding. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar, had to go into hiding. First, they hid in the study hall. Why they had to go into hiding? Because the Romans outlawed. You're not allowed to learn Torah. So if you learn Torah, by threat of punishment, arrest, death. So they had to go into hiding. Every day, the wife would bring them. I'm not reading the Lashon right now because it's Aramaic. This part of the Gemara is Aramaic. A small pitcher of water and bread. However, when the decree intensified, it was a Shas Hadchak, and the Romans became very strong. Interesting, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Nashim da tankala alehen. Women, their minds are weaker. They're easily swayed. In other words, what does it mean? It continues in Aramaic. Maybe they'll be arrested by the Romans. Our wife slash mother will be tortured, and she'll reveal our hiding place. So they had to go into deeper hiding where even the wife would not know. And where did they go into deeper hiding where the wife even did not know?
Cave.
The cave. They went to the cave in Meron, and by miracle, a carob tree, charuva. So maybe that's why they call it carob. Charuva is carob. It's the same word, one in Aramaic, one in English. Did anyone ever taste it, by the way?
What?
It's not my taste.
Yeah, I mean, my mother would buy it.
That what?
My mother would buy it, bring it home every Lag BaOmer, my parents.
So why? Because that's what he lived on for 12 years,
yeah,
that he was in the cave. There was a spring of water, Eina Demaya, a spring of water, Charuva, and this carob tree. Say it louder. Right. So that's right, Tu B'Shvat also, because we got a Tu B'Shvat platter this year on Tu B'Shvat, and there was carob on it, and it was not my taste. But
is anyone here?
That what? Boxer. But we did have someone over that Shabbos, and she liked it. She said she likes it. Did you ever taste it? Did you ever taste it?
I mean, I had it growing
as
up.
A kid.
Yeah. So it's like cardboard almost. Ladies, any port in a storm, I mean, if you have nothing to eat and you're hiding from the Romans, I'm really not making a joke, by the way, when we think back. So like, I just saw a story about a tree in the Warsaw ghetto that was just uprooted, but seedlings were replanted somewhere else. A plum tree, you saw? Oh, so carob tree, they survived on this carob tree, which was created miraculously for them, and water. What would they do to maintain their clothing? They would sit in sand up to their necks, says the Gemara, to maintain their clothing. Rashi says in order to not wear out their clothing, they wore it as little as possible. And kula yama garse, all day they would study together. And according to tradition, it was during this time in the cave that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai composed the Zohar. So it was this running to the cave, it was the Shas Hadchak, when the Romans wanted to arrest them and kill them, that they composed, that they learned the Zohar. They not learned the Zohar. Well, yeah, Torah Minishamayim, they learned the Zohar. And when prayer would arrive, they would dress themselves. They would take their clothing, they would go out of the sand, they would dress themselves to daven, and then they would return to the cave. They dwelled in the cave for 12 years. You know what I was thinking was so interesting? We started by talking about Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, and what does Lag BaOmer have to do with Rabbi Akiva? So we answer, the Talmidim died for a period of 33 days, over 7 weeks. How long did Rabbi Akiva spend the first time in the academy? 12 years. And how many pairs of students did he have? Says the Gemara in the same place, Yabama 62b, how many pairs of students? How many pairs of students? 12,000 pairs of students. He was in the yeshiva for 12,000 years. How long was Shimon Bar Yochai and his son in the cave for? 12. So it's very interesting. I don't know what the significance of it is, but nothing's an accident. Maybe I'm just thinking as we're learning, the 12 Shvatim represent all of Klal Yisrael in these ma'isim that occurred. That Rabbi Akiva's 12 years, you could say he's learning for the whole Knesset Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who composed the Zohar, Dafka, during these 12 years, is learning for all of Knesset Yisrael. And the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, that's very nice actually, represent that Machlokas can also rip apart the whole Klal Yisrael. We can either invest the 12 to build up Knesset Yisrael with Torah, or Achman Atzan, it could be the opposite way. We can destroy ourselves. So they dwelled in the cave for 12 years. Eliyahu Navi comes after 12 years, and he stood at the entrance to the cave, and he says, Man liyo de levar yochai. Who's going to let Bar Yochai know? Demis Kesar. What does it mean, Demis Kesar? Demis Kesar. Kesar died. Uvatal gezerte. And what happened to the gezerah? It's battle, you don't have to hide anymore. Even the wife didn't know where they was, because remember, Nashim Da'aten Kalos, the woman might give up her place if she knows. So they emerged from the cave. So it's very famous. What happened when they come out of the cave?
Everything burned. Everything they looked at burned. And
so why? Why were they burning people?
Because they were so holy.
Okay. Or they didn't perceive themselves as so holy. They perceived that everyone else was so lowly. Okay, you could say it goes hand in hand. So what happened? Chazu inshe, they looked at people. They were plowing a field. They were sowing the crops. So what did they say? Manich in chaye olam. By the way, we're in Amasecha Shabbos, Alam and Gimel Amid Beis. Manich in chaye olam, v'oskin b'chaye sha'a. What does it mean, manich in chaye olam? What's chaye olam? Olam haba. The only way you get olam haba is through Torah. They're putting aside chaye olam for chaye sha'a. They're so worried about life in this world, this momentary, fleeting hour. Here today, gone tomorrow. Kol makom shenos nin einehem miyad nisraf. Everywhere that they look, they started to burn people up. So what did the Bas Kol come out and say? So the Bas Kol said, lahachriv olami yitzasem. You came out of the cave, lahachriv olami, it's my world, says Rebbe Hashem. You came out of the cave to destroy my world. Chizlu maraschem. You have to go back to your cave. They went back to the cave for another. It's so interesting. Now they went back for another period of 12. But this time, the Gemara specifically says, at 12 months. So there's really a focus on 12 here. It's very, very interesting. They went back for 12 more ones, which is a year. And at that point, they said, Mishpat Rashaim, how did they make a cheshbon nefesh that they could come out? Everyone's with me? Mishpat Rashaim beGehenim Shneim Asar Chodesh. The worst Rasha gets Gehenim for 12 months. It must be, therefore, For what we did, we paid our time, we could come out. Yatzasa bas kol v'amra, the bas kol came out and proclaimed, the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with them, tzu'u mimaraseicham, you could come out. What happens this time? So the first time they come out, they're burning up everything. They compose the Zohar. So they're on a level of Torah we can't fathom. The level of Torah, we're never going to learn that part of hidden Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed all the secrets to Torah. That's his legacy. On the day of his death, he said we should celebrate because he passed on those secrets of Torah to his Talmidim. So the first time they came out, they're on such a level, they're burning people up. The second time they came out. So this part's very interesting. Kol Heicha Dahava Mache Rabbi Elazar. Wherever Rabbi Elazar, the sun would look, he would burn people up. So now who's burning people up? The sun's still on a very, very high level. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't like this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would heal what the sun did. Amar lo, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Bini, dai la'olam ani va'ata. My son, it's enough. Me and you are enough for the world. We can't expect other people to be on the level that we're on. Okay, so before we go on, I want to relate a very, very powerful vignette, insight, that Hani Malchus brings down from Rabbi Zev Lef. She says, Rabbi Zev Lef asks an amazing question. This is one of my favorite Torah thoughts, says Hani Malchus. She says one of my favorite Torah thoughts from him, from Rabbi Zev Lef. If Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was too exalted, we're talking about the first time he came out of the cave, and he couldn't relate to the mundane world, why did God command him to go back and study Torah for 12 more months? Go back to the cave, you understand? He's on such a high level. So you would say, Hani says, you're too intense. Calm down. Go to Florida. Put your feet up on the beach chair. I'm mamish quoting. What are you telling them to go back to the cave to learn more Torah? You're coming and you're burning everybody up after 12 months, after you brought down secrets from Shemayim, the Zohar, you're going to pass it on. So you should say, go take a vacation. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu say, go back to the cave? You want to hear the answer? It's unbelievable. Rabbi Lef answers, I'm talking to myself. If people criticize other people, it's not because they learned too much Torah. It's because they didn't learn enough Torah. They didn't learn enough Torah to understand. Everyone has their own level and way of serving Hashem. So if you came out of the cave and you learned for 12 years and you're looking at people and burning them up because they're not on your level, go back to the cave and learn again. Because what are you missing? What are you missing? Heavy mekabos kol adam besimcha. We have to learn acha kamocha. Heavy danis kol adam lekavschos. It's unbelievable. It's such a tremendous psha. That's what she really says. You would think, hey, you're too intense. Go to Florida. Put your feet up on the beach chair. But quote, if people criticize other people, it's not because they learned too much Torah. It's because they didn't learn enough Torah. So they're banishlam. And why is this such a beautiful insight of Rabbi Lef? Because Mamela, what happened when they came out of the cave the second time? Was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai burning people up? No more. Now he understood. What did he say to his son? Not everyone's on our level. Not everyone's on our level. Enough of me and you. It's so beautiful. Okay, so then how does the Gemara continue? Does anyone know? What does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai see next? It's late Friday afternoon.
Someone's running with two Hadassim or a
Rabbi. Oh, Hadassim. Very, very nice. Rashi says Hadassim. Chazu hahu saba. What's a saba? A grandfather. They see a third old man, and he's running with two bundles of myrtles. And Rashi says that it is chavilos shal hadas. Very nice. Bundles of hadasim. This week's parsha, Parsha's Emor. Hadasim. Lahariach b'shabbos. They wanted to smell nice on Shabbos. They want flowers on their Shabbos table. So they saw one bundle, two bundles, and it's Benish Mashos. He's running, and it's so close to Benish Mashos, and it's almost Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to him, what do you need those for? So he says, the Kavod Shabbos. All you go to the store to buy flowers. The Kavod Shabbos. So he says, could you not have sufficed Bechad, one bundle? So the man, the Saba, answered, Chad Keneged Zachar. No, I need two. Chad Keneged Zachar. I need to remember Shabbos. V'chad keneged shamar, and I need to guard the Shabbos. At this point, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Chaze kama chavivin mitzvos al Yisrael. Look how precious the mitzvos are to Israel. And immediately, Yasev da'atu, da'as. Their da'as was appeased. They were not so nervous anymore when they saw that everyone has their own level of Avodas Hashem, but even the simple man is running Erev Shabbos to honor Shabbos with two myrtle branches, one for Zachar and one for Shomer. So part of what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai leaves us is the same thing, really, in essence, Rabbi Akiva leaves us, besides for the unbelievable Madrigas and Torah that we can't fathom. Rabbi Akiva, when Moshe went up to Shemayim, he said to Hashem, why are you putting crowns on the Torah? And Hashem said, somebody will live one day, referring to Rabbi Akiva, who will expound upon the crowns and derive great lessons, even from the crowns of Torah. So Rabbi Akiva is unbelievable in Torah, more than we can imagine, say, think, comprehend, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the hidden secrets of Torah. So besides with the Torah they brought us, which is why we build bonfires on Lag BaOmer to represent the light, the fire, the warmth of Torah, they also left us a more subtle message, and that is the subtle message of Hevidanus Kol Adam Mechav Schos and Vahav Lerecha Kamocha, and not judging other people, because when we judge other people, Memele, we're denying their kochos to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And he saw this man running with his hadasim, one for Zachar and one for Shamar, and he said, look how precious are the mitzvos to Knesset Yisrael. Right. So that is on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Akiva, a little bit on Lag BaOmer. Any questions or comments? Okay. So I want to follow up with one more thing before we get to the Sefer Stel, and that is last week, okay? Actually, we just spoke about Zachar and Shamar. And this is a sefer, inside of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Aberditchev. The sages offer, in Parshas Kedoshim, there's the juxtaposition of Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u, you must revere, Yira, your father, or mother of Eshab, so say Tishmu, guard Shabbos. We just spoke about Shamar Shabbos. Revere your parents. Last week we spoke about having Yira Shamayim, fear of heaven, and keep Shabbos. Why are these sages juxtaposed? Why are these phrases or commands juxtaposed, put next to each other? Fear your parents on a Shabbos. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak alluded to an important Kabbalistic concept. So something from the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches as follows in Kabbalah. Ready? Because it relates to exactly what we spoke about last week. What does it mean to have Yir Shamayim? We started to expound upon it. In order for us to have fear, this is very astute, Kabbalah teaches, you have to have a certain understanding of the object of your fear. For instance, if we fear a lion, it's because we know the lion is not so calm like the cow. It's strong, it's ferocious. If you're in the presence of a lion, you are vulnerable and you fear it. Understand? So if you take a child, I don't know, think about it like this. Who never saw a spider before? There's a child who's interested in things. You know, children are interested in the most teeniest thing on the sidewalk. They find it fascinating. Tonight, it actually was amazing. We were going out of the house. My boys called me over. There was a colony of ants apparently digging their colony. It was unbelievable. The ants, it was really such a lesson in Avodas Hashem. We're coming out of the hall. You know when you see an ant colony, there's a mound of dirt on the outside? How does it even get there? You could see the individual ants, each one coming out of the hole. They were obviously the worker ants, with a grain of sand this big in their feelers or their mouth. They would deposit the grain of sand, go back into the hole. You understand? Come out with another grain of sand. Could you imagine if you tell them this is what you have to do? One teeny grain by one teeny grain, but you're going to accomplish something. That's really what is in Avodas Hashem. One teeny step by one teeny step. One of the ants, my son says, look at him. The piece of stone that he was holding onto was almost as big as the ant. And he was struggling to get it out of, but he didn't give up. But my son says, when he got it, my son says, he got it. He got to the top and they knew where to go back down. That's really what is in Avodas Hashem. Oh, why did I say that? Let's say you have someone who never saw a spider. They never saw a spider. A child. And you put them into the room, and there's the spider. And there's no adult screaming that there's a spider. Is a child naturally going to be afraid of the spider if he never saw one? Probably not. Why? They might think it's cool. They might think it's interesting. They may not think to be afraid of the spider. They never saw a spider. So Levi Yitzchak Aberditchev teaches, the Kabbalah teaches, you have to know why you're afraid of something. You have to recognize what something is before you're afraid of it. You know a lion is strong. You know it's ferocious. You know you're vulnerable. The same is true of awe, yira, which is a higher form of fear. When you realize you're in the presence of great rulers, you understand how exalted and accomplished these people are, so you feel a certain measure of admiration. You feel a stab of fear. You shrink into yourself in the presence of such greatness. Therefore, and this relates to our learning totally of the Sefer, because the Sefer says over and over and over and over, in order to have a relationship with Hashem, says the Mechaber, you have to know there's Hashem. Remember the mashal is your washing machine plugged in? In order to have a relationship with God, you have to know that He's there. So we know, when we understand some of Hashem's greatness, when we realize how vulnerable we are, that leads to Yiras Shamayim. You can't have Yiras Shamayim without being aware that there is Ribbono Shel Olam, and on some level, what I am next to Him. We recognize His greatness of His divine attributes. We are insignificant, and this leads to awe. What does this have to do with father and mother next to Shabbos? Remember the original question? It's on Vayikra Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Gimel. Why put revere your father and mother next to Shabbos? Why? Rav Levi Yitzchak Oberditchov explains, when you reach the level of Yira for your father and mother, understand your position vis-a-vis your parents. So true. People have these issues, that issue is like Lamaisa. What did your parents give you if nothing else? Your whole life. You're only here because of your parents. Yes, because of Bojo. But you're only here because of your parents. But we tend to forget that. By contemplating the power in our relationship with our mother and father, we come to recognize our relationship with who? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, we can achieve the highest level of Yira, which will lead us to observe faithfully Shabbos. Because when we realize our position vis-a-vis Hashem, Lahavdil, like a person who's standing in the cage with the lion, it's true. Is the child who never saw a lion necessarily going to be afraid of the lion before the lion roars? No, because they're not going to know the lion's scary. You have to know what something is in order to revere it. That's what the Mechaber is saying. Do you even know Hashem? Otherwise, you can't have a relationship with Him. If you revere your father or mother, it leads you to guard the Shabbos, which comes from Hashem. Okay, so that was a little bit more on Yiras Shamayim. Any questions or comments? Okay. With that, let us go into the Sefer, please. Okay, so we are on page 56. And we're on the last paragraph of page 56, please. Just want to move this over. Ah, 1 second. Okay, sorry. Say it again. I could use the shadow. Tell them I say thank you very much. Tell Sova I say hello. You did?
Yeah.
Send my regards. The first task is, ready? So we're on the bottom paragraph of page 56. Thank you. The first task is for you to reach the state in which you will really sense the presence of the master of the world. Ha, isn't that what we just said? What's the first stage of Avodas Hashem? What's the first stage of Amuna? Should we see Hashem with Neged Samin? Even more than that. No, I just thought of a different Mamar Chazal. Da lishnei mi ata omid. Da, what does it mean? You have to know before whom you stand in order to have any sense of reverence for Hashem. After that, after you understand, says Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, before whom you stand, then you can attain love, fear, and dveikus. Dveikus means being attached to Hashem. I was in a certain place today where there was a camera recording the goings-on. I thought to myself, you're on camera. So everything you're doing, this is a true story, can be seen. And I thought to myself, what's going to be when we get up to the Yeshiva Shomala? And I'm really going to be on camera. And I thought, that's what Chazal say, da malim malim mimcha. Do we really feel ayin ro'a? What does it mean? Someone's watching. Ozen shamas. They're recording our speech. And everything you do is written down in the heavenly book. We don't internalize it, but that's the absolute emes. Just like the place where I was, and there's a camera that's recording, and they could see everything and hear everything. Why don't we feel the same impact and import vis-a-vis Ribbono Shel Olam? Everything's being watched. Everything's being written. Only after you sense the presence of the master of the world, then you can attain love, fear, and dveikus. Dveikus means being attached to Hashem. You might sense the existence of the Creator. Look at this. But feel distant from Him. You might sense that He's there. You feel distant from Him. As it says, from afar Hashem appeared to me. Or you might feel close. But first, there has to be reality known as Hashem. Even in the times when you feel distant from Him, do you know that there's Hashem? My friend and esteemed friend Zahava Farbman says something very interesting about relationships. So we could apply this to Hashem. I'm pointing out that sometimes the Mechaber says you might feel distant from Hashem. What does it mean? People go through different times in life where they feel perhaps, where is Hashem in my life? Why am I so distant? But it could bother you that you're feel distant from Hashem. So she says something very interesting. If somebody does something to you that you don't like, your reaction is going to change depending on your relationship with the person. If it's a stranger in the street, the cashier in the supermarket, another driver, at that moment you might feel a little bit of a wow, like a pinch. But you don't really care. You don't go home and think about the cashier. You don't think about the driver who cut you off. You don't care. Why?
Because they're connected.
Because you have no connection. Because they're strangers. Because you don't want a relationship with that person. So you don't really care what they say or what they did. But if somebody that you love or you have a connection with does something to insult you, then what happens? Then what happens? You think about it. You cry about it. You're upset about it. You feel animosity. Why? What's the difference? Maybe he said the same thing that the cashier said. So why does one make you upset and one you don't care? Because the
expectations of that person.
Okay, there's expectation. Also, you want a relationship with that person. You want it to be okay. So therefore, those feelings of anger, she says, represent love. You're only angry at somebody you love. It's unbelievable. But all right, you're only angry at somebody that you love. Otherwise, you don't care what they did. So take this to your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem, you know, she deals with crisis, trauma, and tragedy. Rechmanat Sando Aleni, she was able to deal only with Simchas and Besoros Tovos. Halavai, Amen, Amen, V'Amen. But she says, if somebody's mad at Hashem, so to speak, okay? Don't judge people. What does it mean? They want a relationship with Hashem. It means they love Hashem. Do you understand? Even when you feel distant from Hashem, in that moment, what do you really want? You want a relationship with Him. Because if you weren't angry, so to speak, it means you don't care about Hashem. But the fact that someone you love hurt you on a personal level or vis-a-vis relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but Hashem, I love you, Zahava says. How could you do this to me? How could you take this person from me that I love so much? I need this person. I want this person. It's part of my life. She says, you know, that person just came home from a Leviathan. They look up to Ribbono Shel Olam and they say, I'm mad at you. What did you do? I thought we had a good thing going on here, God. You took that person from me. But she says that anger, that awareness, that pain indicates you love Hashem. Do you understand? It's unbelievable. Even when he's distant from you, so to speak, you're actually very close to him. Because if you didn't care about Hashem, you wouldn't be upset at him at all. Just like Lahavdil Alfei Avdalos, the cashier in the street, or the guy who cut you off. You don't go home and think about the guy who cut you off. You don't cry about the guy who cut you off. 2 minutes later, you're not worried about it. Because he's a stranger and you have no connection or relationship with him. The fact that you feel distant from Hashem, but you have to feel the distance, indicates Hashem's really in your life. And you're aware and you want him to be in your life and you want to build close to him. Therefore, she says that's why it's such a normal stage, anger against God in the work that she does. We should never know. Halila v'chas, no, if I'm a class, all should ever know. The work that she does, it's a normal stage in the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam because it's such a drastic nisayon. But the pain against Hashem indicates, as distant as you feel, you're actually very close to him in that moment. It's unbelievable. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Oh, questions or comments? Okay. Therefore, so we said, we might sense the existence of this. You can still sense the existence of the Creator while you feel distant. Do you understand why it's not a stira? Because you could say, oh, if you feel distant from God, you don't sense Him. But we just learned it's absolutely not true. You might sense His existence, but feel distant. From afar, Hashem appeared to me. Or you might feel close. As for me, closest to Hashem is my good. I'll go through different times in life. But you have to feel at all. In every situation, that there is a reality known as Hashem. The ultimate example is when a person says Kaddish, Lo Aleinu, after the loved one has departed. What does Kaddish indicate? I know that there's Hashem and His name is exalted, even in my pain. After that, you can and must try. 1 second, please. Oh, thank you. Thank you. After that, you can and must try to decrease the distance. So we don't want to stay in the place of what? We don't want to be distant from Hashem. Ani kirvas alokim litov. Kirvas karban, noteworthy that Elohim, even when he manifests as Elohim, I want to be close to him. So we don't want to stay in a situation where we feel far away from Hashem, obviously. But the first thing is a sense of his presence, because if you don't have a sense of his presence, there is nothing to come close to. Someone related in a different class that she was going through a certain hard time in life, and she went to talk to this rabbitson, and she was going through a hard time, and she said to this rabbitson, I can't daven. It bothers me, she said, but right now I can't daven. So the rabbitson said to her, that's a form of tefillah. Not halachic tefillah. It's a form of bakasha. The fact that it bothers you that you can't daven, what's tefillah? Crying out to Hashem. Ezehi avoda shebelev, it's my heart. Zohi tefillah. It's my heart crying to Hashem. The fact that the rabbitson to this person that you can't have him, but that it bothers you, that's a form of crying out to Hashem. You're asking him for help, even while you can't have him. So the first step in the avodas Hashem is to be self-aware. Otherwise, you can't be close to him. Practically speaking, the first goal is to feel Hashem in your heart as a simple entity. How is this accomplished? We will apply the principles presented thus far. So I want to share a beautiful insight of Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo. In the back of the book, they actually have a section on his words, okay? It's a piece that's adapted from a Tversky's address at the 2011 Toros Moshe dinner. So this is his Torah Ha'ara. So Moshe Tversky explains, so we're talking about knowing Hashem, and we're talking about living with Hashem, and we're talking about having him as a reality in our lives, a real entity in your heart. Interesting, in your heart. We just said, Ezi Yavodah Shabalev, Zohi Tefillah. So having this real awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam is a form of tefillah. So Tversky presents a very interesting insight. When Avram Avinu, by the Bris Bein Habsarim, is describing the fact that he's childless, he says, Anochi holech ariri, I am going childless, uben mesek beisi, damesek Eliezer yoresh osi. And I have damesek Eliezer, the domestic, the Damascus, it's translated Eliezer, who inherits me. So what are you giving me, God? You promised me I'm going to come to this land. You promised me, he promised Yaakov Ufaratzta. You promised it's going to be good for me. Lachem Artzchem, Lachem Beis Avichem. Rashi says there, I will be blessed with children, and I'm going Ariri. I have no children. And domestic Eliezer, Yoresh Osi. So Moshe Tversky says, why is Eliezer even mentioned here? We encountered Eliezer previously in the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings. When it says, Vayerek Eschanichav, that Avram Avinu girded his men, the Chazal say, Chanichav equals 318 in Gematria, who went to battle to rescue Lot? Eliezer. Chazal referred to him as a, what is this one?
Sagacious.
Do you know what it means? I'm not teasing, I'm asking.
No,
what is it?
Intelligent.
Sage.
Sagacious?
Yeah. It's from... Smart.
Smart, smart.
And the word sage, that's the root.
Sage.
The word sage.
Oh, like a sage.
Right.
No, thank you. I didn't hear you say. Okay. Chazal referred to him. Okay, he's going while you tour, but fine. They already know that I can't hear. I was just on someone yesterday. So she said, don't you miss, like, not being able to hear? So I said, it's so long. She said, but don't you ever think? But if you could just say, I was talking to her because one of my son's friend's mother has a different Nisayon situation. So I said, I can't imagine that Nisayon. They can't imagine my Nisayon. They must think, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. And I think, how do you live with that? So I was talking to another person. So she said, do you ever think of what it would be like to be ill to hear? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to put a white horse. So I said, I don't know. I can't even imagine. She says, but what about the things you miss? I said, I just accept that. This is how it is. I said, even in class day, this was yesterday, last night, I said, someone had to repeat themselves three times, and then the person next to me had to tell me what she was saying. I thought of it because of you're trying to tell me sage. Okay, so first of all, you said patience with me. Thank you. And Pasha, you have to, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us different things. And what's the tafkid? You have to be like the ant. You have to work with what you have. And you have to plod ahead. And Avodas Hashem is not easy. What's it called? Avodas Hashem. What is Eved? A servant. All Malchus Shemayim. What's all? the burden of heaven. That's what I actually thought of with the ant, that my son said, he's carrying something, it's as big as himself, he can't make it out of the hole. All about Chush Shabbat. You have to be an Eved Hashem. Next week's parasha. Rashi says, what does it mean, b'chu kosei teleichu, to do the mitzvahs? You already told me to do the mitzvahs. Shetihu amelim b'torah. What does it mean to be amel? You have to toil, you have to sweat, by the sweat of your brow, you have to work. You have to be like the ant. You have to plod on ahead. You have to carry what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you. Sometimes the grain of sand is smaller. Sometimes it's bigger. But are you aware that there's even God in your life? Even if you feel distant from him, it could still mean you're aware that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. As we explain, based on how Zahava Farman explains it. So Chazal referred to him as a, how do you pronounce it?
Sagacious
servant, a sage. Dominion, so usually we say like a sage has dominion over Torah. If he's sagacious, then why is Avraham Avinu complaining that Damesek Eliezer is going to inherit me? What's wrong with Damesek Eliezer inheriting you? You want to just have children for the point of having children, or you want to pass on the spiritual heritage of Torah? So what's wrong with passing on the spiritual heritage of Torah to Eliezer? So Rashi tells us there, Damesek is an acronym. Dola Umashka Mitoris Rabo. Dola Umashka Mitoris Rabo. Dola, he draws. Mashka, he drinks the water from the teaching of his master. No, not he drinks. He draws and waters from the teaching of his master. So imagine you go to the well, not that we relate to this anymore, but you pull up the water and you pour it out. Dola umashka. He draws. It's almost like mashka is to give someone else to drink, no?
He's watering.
It's what?
It's almost like he's watering. Like he's like watering the lawn or...
Right. So what's wrong with...
He's learning from Abraham and then giving over what he's learning.
Okay, so what's the problem with Eliezer? Right? We would think that would be good. Dola umashka mitoras rabba. So what's the problem here? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Avraham Avinu had tens of thousands of students. I believe if you look at the beginning to the Rambam here. Eliezer stood at the helm of those yeshivos, those kolalim, those various Torah institutions. He must have delivered an impeccable review of Avraham Avinu's Torah discourses. However, and this is very penetrating, relates entirely to our learning, he was merely drawing water and pouring it forth. Water that goes into a pail, I'm quoting Moshe Tversky, Shemikom Dama, emerges unchanged. In Eliezer, the words of Torah were not in a state of being fruitful and multiplying. For whatever reason, there was no living soul in his Torah. So therefore, what could we say? Perhaps if it would be Dola Vishosa, Mitoras Rabba, that's a different state. Dola, you draw, shosa, you drink. But you said like watering the lawn. Apparently he was drawing the water and just pouring it out. He wasn't internalizing the water of Torah. Therefore, says Rabbi Moshe Tversky, Avraham Avinu was bemoaning the fact that he had neither biological progeny nor spiritual progeny, and he was barren in the fullest sense of the world. It wasn't just that he lacked physical offspring, but he was saying, I don't even have a spiritual heir to pass my Torah onto.
It's almost like regurgitating. He's like, just kind of like...
spitting back exactly what he gets without internalizing what he's getting. It's unbelievable. It's very, very, very interesting ha'ara into that Rashi, but also relates very much to our learning, which is that it's not enough to draw the water and to draw the mudra and then to just pour it out. You have to make sure to drink the water that you draw. And therefore, even if you feel distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to know the fact that you feel distant means you want to be close. It's unbelievable. And that's really the koach of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is not a Sfiras HaOmer is not a horizontal ladder. It's not a horizontal plane. You know the moving sidewalks in the airport? They could be very, very long. They could be 7 weeks long, but you're going to be on the same level as when you started. Then think of the escalator in the airport. It's a very nice mashal. You know, some airports have very long moving sidewalk. Okay, but you're on the same level. And then you could have a very tall escalator, and you're not on the same level. Both of them, you're moving. But one, you're just plodding along exactly where you are, and one, you're striving to move upward. And that's really the message of Sfiras HaOmer, that we have to be striving and rising. And every day, every single day is a new mitzvah. You make a new bracha every single day. Why? Because today has the capacity for change, the capability for change, the koach to move one rank higher in my Avodas Hashem. Unbelievable. We spoke last week about make yourself into sapphire. Was that in this class? Yes. Okay. Okay. Let's go a little bit more. You must dedicate a quiet... Any questions or comments? You want water?
No, it's fine.
I could share.
There's a cup behind you.
Oh, there's a cup right behind us. You must dedicate a quiet hour for contemplation in which you will be free from all the distractions of the world and you can focus your thoughts. Then, start with something simple, the kind of questions. And here he brings up Avraham Avinu. Interesting, because we just brought up Avraham Avinu, an insight of Rav Moshe Tversky. Start with the kind of questions Avraham Avinu asked when he saw his creator, such as, I am in this world. How did I get here? Free from all the distractions. You know, someone said something to me very interesting. Today, a different class, we learn Chovas Hashmira, Kunchas Chovas Hashmira, Chavetz Chaim and Shmir Salasham. So she said something interesting to me. She said, how would the Chavetz Chaim even guide us in such a generation? Where would he even start? We were specifically talking about the bursting forth, if you will, of virtual technology, which puts people in contact from around the world in mere seconds. The damage, oh yes, a lot of good, but the damage that can be done if we hit send without thinking. And she said something very penetrating. She says, how would the Chavetz Chaim guide us? Where would he even start in such a generation where the... news feeds, or whatever they're called, social networking, they're called Twitter and Tweet. You know, Rashi, to the beginning of Perek Yudalet, by the Mitzora, says, why does he bring two birds? Because they are chirping and tweeting all the time. Let him bring birds that chirp to atone for his sin of tweeting. So it's an unbelievable thing. Pute Dvarim, you're constantly tweeting, you're constantly chirping. Shad, where are the Chavetz Chaim? What would he do with us? I said, Hashem did a big chesed that he lived 100 years ago and that he didn't live in our dar. Because what would he do with our dar? Where would we even start to tell people? Where can you find a quiet hour for contemplation in, I circled it in my own sefer, in which you will be free from all the distractions of this world and can focus your thoughts? I don't know what to say.
Get up at 6 in the morning.
Discipline.
Yes, it takes discipline.
Discipline.
So if you get up at 6 a.m., there's things you have to do.
Yeah.
It's true. It's not so pasha. So this morning, shortly after 6, I was on the treadmill. So on the treadmill, I'm thinking, you have to do everything that you do into a measure of Avodas Hashem. But it's not so pasha to find the quiet hour of contemplation in today's day and age. It's just not. But when you find it, start with something simple. So maybe for us, you kind of find a quiet hour. What I try and do with myself, you're talking about self-discipline, in the morning, I don't turn on my phone right away. You know, do this first, and then I say, do something else first. I don't need to check it, right? Do something else first. Before I even turn it on, to do other things before we even get to the point of where we have to check it. But Chazal tell us, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim v'lo matzati l'guf tov mishtika. All my days I grew up among stations, I didn't realize the time is, I even need to leave on time today, and I never found anything better than shtika. Chazal tells us furthermore, siag l'chach mashtika, this is all Pirkei Avos, and finally, kol hamarber dvarim mevichei. So the koach of finding that quiet time, and if we can't find an hour, some minutes, it's not a joke. Remember we said we're climbing a ladder, so you don't start at the bottom of the escalator and go to the top. There are steps in between. It's a gradual ascent. So you have to start. And what do we start with? I'm in this world. How did I get here? And after how did I get here, of course, why am I here? And what is Ribbono Shel Olam for me? So Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue next week. We should be zochet to a meaningful Lag Ba'Omer, to appreciate the light of Torah, and to remember the astonishing lesson of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva. If you judge other people, you didn't learn too much Torah. You learned not enough Torah. V'ahavta recha kamocha. Zakal gadol b'Torah. Have a wonderful, Be'ezras Hashem, meaningful Shabbos, ladies. Thank you.